Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the living God from all blessings flow. We know that our God is an awesome God, and God loves us. Do we love Him? I know I do. Tonight's the night that we just said we want to give God the glory. We want to praise God, we want to love Him, and want to adore Him and to magnify Him because God has been so good to us. All we can do is just say, hey, hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Praise the living God. Amen, amen, amen. To the God be the glory. And God has been so good to us. And all I can say that this time in our lives, what we need to do is just trust God and let God more than ever. Because as we walk in this life that we now live, God is always there for us. And it's up to us what we're going to do. All I can tell you, beloved, is this, is that you keep, beloved, now speak to you. I will say to you with authority, in the name of Jesus, the more you trust God, the more God's going to allow you to do what you need to do. Sometimes it don't look like God's going to do anything for us, but God has us to have very much desire, patience. And it's up to us whether or not we want to. Once we make a decision, it's a known factor. It's a known factor. And then when you come to understand, there is an enemy. Declare, she ain't going to make it, he ain't going to make it. All I can tell you is this. The more you want to trust God, the more God will use you. And I will say this to you. Keep the faith. And when you keep the faith of God, you're saying to the world, this is the God I trust. And so I'm waiting on my guest if she's there, and I'm trying to make sure I got everything like I want it to be, and I'll keep talking to me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for everything that you have done for us and for us, and how that you've shown us how we must love you. And just do what you call us to do. I pray this day in the name of Jesus that you will take care of somebody that who trusts in you. As we look unto you as the author of our faith, that you will walk with us, you will teach us, you will show us, to teach us, above all, to honor you, because what Jesus has done for us, nobody can ever do what he's done. And Father, in America, we need him. And I come to you and I ask you tonight in Jesus' name that you will keep us who knows that we know that we know. And because the love that you have shown to us and for us, all we know to do, Father, is to love you. And I want to thank you. I want to thank you for everything. Because it's you who have made it possible for us. And without you, nothing is. Sometimes, Father, we raffle, we talk, and we poop. But I ask you to give us the faith of Jesus Christ. And because you're God, we ask you to just bless yourself. Just bless yourself. You're keeping us, Father, from where we are right now. This is the hour, Father, that we bless your name, that we say thank you. We call you because without you, we can do nothing. We love you. We love you. I thank you for the waiting of the people who are on the radio waiting and can believe that all things are possible. Because today is the day, Father, we say hallelujah. And because we say thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father. We call those who are bamboozled, those who don't know, we call to believe, but have not been touched by God. but can see the clarity of what you're doing. And we just want the Holy Spirit to fall upon all of us tonight. Keep us. Keep us, Father. 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 Because somewhere in this life, we just don't know. But we trust in you, Father. We trust in you. Somewhere on the radio tonight, somebody's calling. Somebody don't know. Somebody in America needs to know. Needs a touch. Need a touch of your love. Can you do it, Father? Yes, you can. You touch me. Can you show somebody? Somebody see what you're doing? Well, without you, Father, I know. I know that all things are possible. All things. All something. All things. It's you, Father. Keep us and let us walk according to our faith, Father. I know that without you, I can do nothing. But I said, thank you, Father. I said, thank you. Thank you, Father. I said, thank you. Because I know that you know that you know that we know, Father. Amen. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. And I love you for everything you're doing. And because you're still God all by yourself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Without you, none of us can do a thing. But it's you, Father. It's you, Father. You make it possible. You make it possible. It's you, Father. And I said, thank you, Father. In Jesus' name of Nazareth, amen. Amen, amen. Tonight, if we have a person on the radio station there, she has much to say. Go ahead, my beloved. Are you there? Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead. It's your program. Go ahead.
Good evening. Welcome to Pearls of Power. Welcome to Pearls of Power, and my name is Tracy. I am, the topic that I've chosen to discuss with you all this evening is the believer's walk. The believer's walk, the lifestyle of the Christian. I've been studying that this week, and it was another topic that I was supposed to be teaching on, a fruit of the Spirit, but the Lord just led me in a different direction. And so the lifestyle of a Christian is not optional. God requires us to walk a certain way. And it is his command. It's not optional. It's his command. He says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Romans 12:2 says, to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. And that world, by the renewing of your mind, and what is being transformed is our thought reflexes, our attitudes and our ideas. These things have to come into conformity to God's ideas and his way of thinking and his outlook. And it says, so that we may test and approve what is God's acceptable will for our lives. So we have to renew our minds, and we have to have our perspectives renewed and aligned with the thinking of the Almighty God. And so about any issue or subject that there may be, I mean, there should be a difference in the Christian perspective as opposed to a non-Christian perspective. And there is really a big difference. Our thoughts, you know, our thoughts when it comes into alignment with the will of God is not the thoughts of the world. I mean, for instance, the world says, get them before they get you. Whereas God says, treat others the way you would want to be treated. You know, the world says, get as much money as you can and can it and sit on the can. It's all about you. Well, when God says to give, and then it shall be given unto you, good measures and pressed down, shaken together, running over. So, God has to, it's almost as if the way the kingdom thinking is almost opposite of the way the world thinks. So God has to reprogram our thoughts and reprogram our perspective and reprogram our outlook if we are going to walk in his ways. Again, my topic is the believer's walk, and so it is very important that we realign our thinking according to the Word of God by the power of his Holy Spirit with his mind, the mind of Christ, if we're going to walk in agreement with him. And the Bible says that we cannot walk with God unless we agree with him. We have to be in agreement with him, so there has to be a transformation, because two cannot walk together except they be agreed. Two cannot walk together except they be agreed. That's in a business relationship, that's in family, that goes with husband and wife. That's why it's imperative for a husband and wife to allow God to choose their spouses, because you really cannot go through life together in oneness and unity unless you're in agreement. So God is telling us the believer's walk is that of coming unto conformity to what he says. And so if we're going to walk with the Lord, there has to be a change if we're not in agreement. And the change is going to be on our part, not on God's part, because God says, I am the Lord and I change not. So the change will come with the believers, the Christians, the saints. We will have to yield to the commands and the orders and the instructions of the Lord if we want to live a successful Christian life. It is a constant transformation, but it is a good one. God wants to lead us into his perfect will for our lives so that we can walk in sync with him, in agreement to his will, slowly being transformed day by day, moment by moment, into his image. It's a beautiful thing. We're being transformed from glory to glory. And how is that possible? By walking in the Spirit, by walking with the Lord, by walking in agreement, in alignment to the will of God. It's the same thing as saying walk in the Spirit. Remember a couple of weeks ago, I broke down what it means to walk in the Spirit. It simply means to obey the leading of the Holy Ghost. It's the exact same thing. You know, God kind of repeats himself over and over again, and then he adds a little bit more to his word. His teachings and his principles are progressive as, you know, as we're able to tolerate and take it. But God says that we are to be changed. We will be changed when we walk with him. We will slowly be changed from glory to glory into his beautiful image, like a caterpillar being transformed into a beautiful butterfly. But it is only as we cooperate with him. That's the key. I can't emphasize that and overemphasize that enough. The key is the child of God, yielding to what God tells us to do. And let me tell you something. The level of transformation and change that we experience is contingent upon or determined by how bad we really want it.
Yeah.
Let me rephrase that, because I really want you to understand. If you really want to see change in your life, and not just in your attitudes and your perspectives and your but in your finances and your social life, if you want the kingdom of God completely infused into your life, mind, body, soul, spirit, socially, financially, intellectually, if you want to see that, it's really contingent upon how bad you want it, how willing you are to, and desperate you are to obey the Holy Ghost. There is always going to be an opposition, okay? And that opposition is not so much the devil. The devil can't do anything to the child of God. He has to have permission, okay? We belong to Christ. But it is us tripping up ourselves. It is, again, the flesh warring against the spirit. So it comes down to, how bad do I want it? Am I going to yield to what I want to do, or am I going to yield to what God is really telling me to do? Nothing comes free. You know, people think, okay, well, all of these blessings, and I really wish ministers would clear that up when they're preaching to the saints, because I think that's where a lot of saints get discouraged at, when they don't see the blessings that are promised to them. But salvation was given to us, but even salvation wasn't free. We just didn't have to pay for it. Christ paid for it. There's nothing really free, okay? There's a price to everything. And the blessings that God has for us, as beautiful as they are, if you really want them, there are some things you have to do. And God will lead you into what it is that you must do to get those blessings. Okay, you want this knockout killer Beyonce body, but the Holy Spirit has told you to get on a diet plan, or, you know, cut out the Twinkies and the Zingers and start walking them out. You won't even do that, but then you want the body. Okay, you want to build up a bank account and be financially successful, but you won't even obey God and start to tithe. So that he can start rebuking the devourer off of your money. Do you understand what I mean when I say there is something that we have to do? And if we're going to get the blessings that God has for us, we can be our own hindrance to the blessings that God wants to give us, because we don't obey. It's not that God does not want to give us the blessings. He is ever so willing. He is ever so willing to bless his children. It is his pleasure to bless us, so much so that he died to get the kingdom of God to us. So that's not the issue. But it is rather, can he get us to understand that we have to say no to ourselves and yes to him? Yes, Lord. Whatever. Yes, Lord, to your will. Yes, Lord, to your way. That is the Christian walk. That is the Christian walk. So, when you see a brother, let me tell you something. When you see a brother and a sister blessed, okay, don't hate, because you don't know what they did in order to get that blessings to start working in their life. You don't know how they sacrificed. You're jealous because this person got an anointing on their life off the chart, but you don't know how many times that person has had to. How many hundreds of hours that person has fasted, or how many hundreds of hours that person has been on their knees in prayer, but then you jealous because the anointing is dynamic in their ministry. Don't hate. Just start doing what God tells you to do to power up your ministry. So my point is, when people are blessed, when you can see the hand of God moving in someone's life, trust me, they paid the price for that. Okay, so it's back to, and we're talking about the believer's walk. And so Joshua 22, verse 5 says, and we're talking about the believer's walk, the lifestyle of the Christian, Joshua 22, 5, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, to hold fast to him and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. You know, when I'm reading this scripture, what pops off to me the most is determination. I mean, commitment and sacrifice. It just kind of jumped out of that paragraph to me that I'm, when you're walking with the Lord, you have to make up your mind. I had to do it. And actually, every Christian has to come to that decision. Am I going to quit playing with God and quit playing with this, or am I going to go all the way? That's about life. How bad do you really want it? How bad
do you really want it?
Those people that have made it in the Olympics, those are the ones that paid the price. They didn't miss practices. They modified their diet. They got the necessary sleep. They studied on that particular program on how to perfect themselves. They went all the way and they sacrificed pain. I'm sure it was painful on some of the regimens that they had to go through, but they were focused on getting what they wanted. And so it is, and Paul even makes that analogy when you read some of his scriptures, about pressing towards the mark. Those words are words actually, of intensity. It's not tiptoeing a tap dancing. You have to go after it with all of your heart and all of your soul. You have to make up your mind that you're going to walk with God. Because there are going to be obstacles that come up against you that's going to challenge your decision. And if you haven't really made up your mind beforehand, that I don't care what comes my way, I'm pressing towards the mark. I'm not going to look to the left hand or to the right hand. What God tells me to do, as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. It just comes down to determination that you're going to yield and do what God tells you to do, come hell or hot water. And not that you can do it in your own strength, but when God tells you to do something, that's me and my house. I'm going to serve the Lord. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to serve the Lord. And that is the believer's walk. And really, let me tell you something. There is no other way. It's not for the weak. But it's for those that have made up their mind, I'm going all the way, even if it costs me my life. You have to really sit down, and, Christianity is not some popcorn, cotton candy phenomenon. It's a life or death decision, and God wants you to get serious with him, and to get serious and sit down and evaluate yourself. And so let's go to Psalms 101, verse 2. It says, we're talking about the believer's walk, the lifestyle of the Christian. I am not going to get even halfway through my teaching. I'm on half of page one, and I have like 15 pages. But anyway, Psalms 101, verse 2 says, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk, there we go, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Now listen, perfect doesn't mean you get everything, you do everything right. In this context, perfect means, it means blameless, but it means you're sincere. You're sincerely trying, okay? And that's what God is looking at. He's looking at the sincerity of your heart. Not that you're not going to make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes, but you're going to get back up and keep going too. So he's saying, I will walk within my house within a perfect way. This means I will, this is talking about integrity. See, it's not really about when you're a Christian, it's really not about what people see, on the outside, because even the best of us sometimes can put on a mask, okay? But God is measuring what you do behind closed doors when nobody is looking, the decisions and the choices that you make when nobody's looking. That's what he means, I will walk within my house. Your house is your private place. That's your private place where nobody sees, well, the good Lord sees, but nobody else is watching. And so that's when the rubber hits the road. That's the true you. And that is the God, that is what God is looking at. So what God is looking at is when nobody is watching, you're the same way behind closed doors as you are in public, at church, at the bank, at work, yada, 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 blah, blah, blah. That is what God is looking at. What you see is what you get. And so that is the decision that when you are walking as a believer, you have to make up in your mind, this is real to me. I'm going to live this in my house behind closed doors, in front of my husband, my wife, my children. This is who I choose to be. And so what people see behind closed doors is the same person that they will see in the church house or at work or whatever. And so that is what that means. That means you're operating in integrity. That is a choice that you have to make in the believer's walk. The lifestyle of the Christian has to be one where you're the same in private as you are on the outside in front of other people. Psalms 128, verse 1, we're talking about the lifestyle of the Christian, the believer's walk. It says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. Okay, now God is tying fearing the Lord with walking in the ways of the Lord. He's tying these two together. There's a connection. And fear means, okay, first of all, fear does mean fear, okay? You should have a certain level of fear of God. I mean, he spoke the worlds into existence. He can speak them out if he chose to, okay? But it also means respect and reverence for God. And when you have that level of reverence and respect for God, you will seek to please him by obeying and walking in his ways. I mean, it's just as simple as that. If you really respect God, God told you to do something, hey, you're going to do it. Now, when you have some people out there that don't care, I mean, you have people out there that are crazy enough for some reason that they don't really fear God that way. And so that is the reason why you have a lot of rebels out there, a lot of people that just can curse God, curse words with God's name attached to that sentence. They have no fear of God, and therefore they have no interest in walking with God or obeying him. So one aspect of walking with God is we should have a level of reverence or respect for him, and which should cause us to want to obey him. Well, it's about 8:30, so I'm going to close right here, and I think I've said enough.
You haven't ever said enough. You got time to say it. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'll just go a little further. You just tell me when to shut up, okay? And then I'll shut up. Isaiah 55, verse 8. So it says that if we fear the Lord, we will walk in his ways. Well, what is his ways? Well, one thing we have to know, and it's found in Isaiah 55, verse 8, it is, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. So that's the first thing you have to know, is that we don't, a newcomer, someone just introduced to the Christian walk of faith, you don't have a clue. And those that have walked such as myself for the Lord for 30 years, I'm just still learning about the Lord, because his ways are past finding out, the Bible says. We'll ever be learning about the wonders of God. Okay, so we have to be taught those things about God. And Lamentations 3:40 says, to let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. An aspect of walking is we have to constantly be evaluating and taking inventory of ourselves to see if we are in line with the will of God. Let us lift up our hearts and our hands to God in heaven. We have transgressed and rebelled. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. That is Isaiah 53, verse 6. So our tendency is to veer away from God from time to time. So we have to take down and, you know, often and evaluate, where am I in God? Am I in God's will? Am I in line with the will of God? Am I straying away from God? This should be, we should be constantly working out our salvation. There is work to do. But it's just the things that God has for us, I've said it once, I'll say it again, it's not just going to fall in your lap. There is something that the child of God has to do. And if that was the case, if the case was that as soon as we were saved, we had everything that, you know, if we had everything, when we were saved, I lost my thought, I'm sorry. When we were saved, we get salvation. But mostly everything else, we have to obey God in order to get those blessings into our life. And if that's the case, everyone would have their finances straightened out. Everyone would be walking in joy. Everyone would be walking in peace. Everyone would be walking in prosperity the moment they are saved. But we all know that that does not happen. Why? Because some take God serious, and then they go on and start doing what God says to do. Some, it takes years for them to get it. And so they sit in the same rut for year after year after year. And, you know, fortunately, some of them realize, hey, I better start obeying God. And then they start making the changes. Some people's progress are slow. They're more stubborn than others. And so everybody's walking their pace is different. But God just wants you to move forward. So Jesus said to God's ways is this. He says that there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. And that way that seems right to a man is, I'm sorry, that way that seems right to a man is actually his own way. But his own way, like the Bible says, the end of that way is death. Jesus says in John 14:6, if you really want to know what the way of God is, to learn his ways, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You want to learn God's ways? You want to know what God's ways are so that we can walk in his ways? There was an acronym came out years ago, WWJD. What would Jesus do? Well,
amen.
In order to know what would Jesus do, you have to know Jesus. I'm going to give you an example of what I'm talking about. I was in a conversation with an acquaintance of mine, and she was talking to me about a really good friend of mine. And she said this, and I said, yeah, she did say that. Yeah, that sounds exactly like her. That sounds, yeah, she did say that, yeah. Well, how did I know she said that? I've had enough conversations with my friend to know some of her vernacular, her mannerisms, her thoughts on certain things. So I knew my friend said that. Because I have a relationship as a result of me spending time with that person. So I knew, yes, that person did say that. Okay, the same thing with Jesus. You spend time with Jesus in prayer. You spend time in the Word. You spend time in worship and in praise. And, hey, you learn the ways of the Lord. And you learn how Jesus would respond in certain situations because of your relationship with him. You learn what the Word says about certain instances and situations, and you just know how to react and how to respond because you have developed a closer and more intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus. So what would Jesus do we know what he would do because he is altogether, the Bible says, he's altogether lovely. We know what Jesus would do. One of the things we know what Jesus would do is his ways are, we can know about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, faith, goodness, and temperance. Well, what would Jesus do in a situation? What are God's ways? The very first fruit is named is love. If you don't know what God do, love that person. What would a loving person do in a situation that I'm in? How would a loving person behave? What does the Bible say? There's a whole chapter dedicated to love. And so if you really don't know what God would do, I suggest that you would study the fruits of the Spirit, and you would study the chapter on love. There's one more thing that I want to say, and then, I mean it's getting close to time, is God wants us to know his ways, and it's found in, and it's very important, Isaiah 2, verse 3. It says, many people shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Let me tell you something. This here says a lot about, this goes against all that people say that they don't have to go to church, okay? Because this scripture is telling us that in the house of God, God will teach you his ways. Now, in the house of God, there's a lot. Let me tell you something. In my studies, I found out there is a lot going on in the house of God. You're not just worshiping God when you go to the house of God. There is a lot going on in the house of God. But one thing that is for sure, and that's in correlation with the topic, is that God promises that he will teach us his ways, according to Isaiah 2:3. So if you want to learn and know God, you go to the house of God, and in the mountain of God, in the house of God, he will teach you his ways, and we shall walk in his path. It says, out of Zion on shall go forth the law, meaning he will teach you the law, the principles of the kingdom, the precepts of the kingdom. That is learned in the house of God. And it says, and the word of the Lord shall go forth. Prophetic word shall go forth out of the house of God. Directions for your life. Personalized words for you and edification for you comes from the house of God that you're planted in. That is why, that is one of the reasons why it's so important to be planted in the house of God. For those people that say, oh, I can go to church, you know, I can just watch church on television and I can praise God in my house. Well, you know, the Bible doesn't say that. Now, I understand there are sick and infirm people that cannot make it, but for everybody else, it is commanded that we forsake not the assembling of ourselves together of the brethren. It is commanded for us to gather to the house of God so that we can learn of his ways, so that he can give us his viewpoint, so that we can be built up and corrected and edified. And so in the house of God is one of the places, is the place, I'm sorry, that we learn the ways of God. It's in the church. And as we walk forward in that pathway in the light that God has revealed to us, more light will be given to us. And I want to say one more thing before I go. When you're walking with God, okay, you have to be very, very careful not to set yourself up for failure. We can do that because the flesh is very tricky, okay? It's very deceitful. Romans 13:14 says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Do not make provisions. What does that mean? Don't set yourself up for failure. You've made a decision to go all the way with God. Be careful for little your flesh, setting yourself up to fail. If you're struggling with smoking, well, you can't go to the bar with your friends that you used to smoke with and just think that, well, I'm not going to smoke. I'm just going to sit there and talk. No, you're not. You're gonna light up and you're going to puff up because you're setting yourself up to fail. Or if you're struggling with whatever it is, alcohol. That's another alcoholism, and one of your friends, one of your drinking buddies calls you up and say, hey, let's go out, you know. Well, you may not be able to go out with that particular buddy anymore because if that buddy gets a drink, you know, they're going to say to you, you know, come on, you know, what's just one drink? Come on, stop that. And you got to take a drink. That's a weakness. That's more than a weakness. It could have been an addiction in your life. So God is telling us, make no provisions for the flesh. If it's something that you're overcoming, you need to steer completely clear of that, go all the way around, If you have to go around the block to get away from it, you make no provisions for your failure. Whatever you have to do to stay on track with the Lord is what you have to do. Okay, and so I'm wrapping up. That is it. I'm through. And I want to extend an invitation to those that have not, that do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, or that have struggled in this area, or maybe this is something that you have never heard before. I just want you to repeat after me, but you have to mean it from your heart. Like I said, and I'll say it again, time and time again, God is looking for sincerity. You pray from your heart, and God will respond. So if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, but you would like to, just repeat these words after me. Dear Jesus, I make you my Lord and Savior. Come into my heart. Turn my life around. Forgive me for my sins. Write my name this day in your book of life. And I believe that when you come again, that you will receive me unto yourself. I accept you, Lord, as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, fill me with your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So, you know, I say again, if you pray that prayer, welcome to the family of God. We'd love to hear from you. You call in, let us know if you pray that prayer. And that concludes my teaching for today. My name is Tracy Harding, and I'm turning the program, the reins, back over to Dr. Hunter.
Well, hold on now, my beloved sister, because somebody got
a few
people want to say something to you. I'm going to open the line up.
Okay.
All right. Hello, lady. Hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm doing well, Lily, and you?
Oh, I'm doing great. You got a question for the host?
No, I really don't have a question. I just wanted to say something. My father was an ordained minister, and he used to kind of criticize me if I didn't go to church, and then all of a sudden he told me that, well, as long as you have God in your heart, you don't really need to go to church, and so wanted to kind of pass that on to the lady that was talking. And I used to always thirst and hunger for his teachings, and I still hold his teachings, even though he's not around with me anymore. So I just wanted to, you know, say that little notation.
Okay, well, the Bible tells us that we should forsake not the assembling together of ourselves,
brethren. I'm not saying, you know, not to go, you know, concurrently, like, all the time or anything. It's like me, I go usually on holidays, the Christmas, the Easter, communion, things of that sort. But, I mean, it's like, yeah, you have to go to maybe establish a foundation. But once you establish the foundation, that as long as you have God in your heart, which I always do have Him in my heart, seeing that my upbringing, the way my father taught me and everything, he brought me up very strictly by the Golden Rule, the Ten Commandments, honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And those things basically are like foundation points in my life. So, you know, that's my theory. So I'm not criticizing anybody because, you know, everybody's got their own, you know, things, their own foundation and everything. So that's just me.
Okay. And is there a reason why you only go on holidays or special occasions?
Well, no, it's just because, yeah, there is. I got a son that's mentally challenged, and he doesn't really like to condone things the way that they're supposed to be. So I'm just going to leave it there, and I'm dealing with issues on that foundation. But, you know, once I get things, you know, whichever way I'm going to go, that I'm going to probably start going on a more consistent basis. So, you know, right now it's I got situations that I have to first take care of, and so, and that's, you know, basically it. But
okay,
you know, like I said, my father is as long as I keep God in my heart, and I always have him in my heart, and I, you
okay,
know, I never.
Okay, well, you're referencing what your father taught you, but I'm referencing what the Word of God says about going to the house of the Lord. And he says to come and let us go up to the house of God, not when you feel like it, not on a holiday. This is a regular, consistent thing, and it's for our edification. It is for our growth. And our growth is not, okay, well, I got some foundational principles, and I'm good now. We'll forever be growing. There's something that you could always learn. I'm learning each day, and God is our growth is constant, and the only way you're going to get that is through constant fellowship under that anointing, that teaching anointing in the house of God. So, you know, anything else is just an excuse.
Well, I mean, you know, as it may sound like an excuse, it's
okay. Well, like I said, you know, if you know, there are reasons I can understand if you're sick or infirm, if there are transportation problems, but I choose to obey. I choose to obey the Word of God.
Okay, I guess.
Amen.
I'm not criticizing anybody. I'm just, you know, saying my thoughts and everything. So.
Oh, definitely.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, tonight is the night that God has brought us close together, and if anybody else have a word to say, something to say, the line is open right now. You got a word. Amen. Amen. If you don't have a word, but I will say this to you, to those of us that are listening, one of the things that I have come before God for, God has answered my prayer.
Amen.
God has answered my prayer. God has answered my prayer.
Amen.
What I ask God for, according to the Bible, 1 John chapter 5, verses 12 to 13, it says, this is the confidence that you have, Willie Hunter. My confidence is in the Word of God. My confidence in what God has said. My confidence is in the reality of what God has stored up for all that believe. And the Bible declares to me that God will. He will. He has to. And I tell everybody, until you come through Jesus Christ, you will not get to know the Holy Father, even while we're in this present body. Jesus said, except a man come to me, he cannot see the Father. So the challenge is before the whole body. And the more I give God the glory, the more I praise God, the more I see what God is doing in my life. And all I can say, everything I've asked God for thus far, God has answered my prayer. Every prayer has been answered thus far. Are there some yet prayed? Yeah, of course. And people say to me, because I had a fight with the enemy, and somebody said, aren't you going to get mad at God? I said, no. No, God didn't do this. What happened to me, I was disobedient. And because I was disobedient, the enemy had a right to attack me. But God, somebody said, won't you ask God to hear you? God has promised me, for such as this, God says, that the glory of God may be seen. And so I'm not saying, hear me, it's up to God, because God has promised me, for such as this is that the glory of God can be seen. Some people knew me, knew the kind of person I was. Some of them said, well, you know, he's down, we got him now. No, you ain't got me. God has me. I'm saying to the beloved of the body of Christ, to the lady that taught tonight, to Tracy, a great word, to my prayer partners out of Georgia, I'm telling you what God is telling me. God has healed me. It's in its own time that God does. For such a time as this, 18 years, that woman walked, bent over. And Jesus said, should not this woman be straightened up? Because Satan attacked me. Because Satan attacked me, I was disobedient. I wasn't obeying God. I'm not going to lie on somebody else. I'm the one that brought it on myself. And I believe I have to let God do what he said he's going to do. I don't have time to argue with people. I don't want to discuss it like I used to because I want to be in constant prayer and praise and admiration to God. That's all my life been for these last 3 years. The more I submit to God, the more I see God moving. 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 There was a time, beloved, when I was in a wheelchair. Couldn't even walk at the hospital. But God, he kept me here for a reason. We are left here on the earth for a reason. His reason is God's glory must be seen. His honor must be. We've got to say, stop looking at the person to the right or the left. Look straight ahead. If a person don't want to go to church, we can say go to church. If you don't want to go, we can keep praying for you. But we ain't gonna, I'm not going to put you right or left. I know where I'm going. And the final analysis, when the door closed, I ain't got to look back because he said, he that heard my voice, come. And those who hear the voice of the beloved, hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
Somebody word?
Uh-oh.
Somebody got a word?
No.
Well, I will say this. No matter what's going on, and if God can use us to raise a lady from the dead to life, that's God. I'm not doubting God. I'm believing God. Everything I can ask you right now, it looks like it ain't working right, but God says, I'm on your side. Hold on. And that's all he wanted. Tracy was speaking it tonight. Solid teaching. And I'm saying this with love and kindness out of the Holy Script. The Bible says, and we say God says, and let me say this to somebody so I help somebody. You don't have to have a Harvard University education. You have a faith education. You don't have to have a high school education, but you need a faith education. The more you study the Word of God, the more you see what God is doing. If God's going to provide for you and I, why should we get ourselves all hung up on this world we live in? The world don't love us. You've already declared it. The devil doesn't love your son. It's more faith you put in with God's Word. And I'm saying what I know and believe in my heart. I've seen it come to pass. Here I'm walking around in my house without a cane. Now. I'm walking step by step. See, it's step by step by step. What the scripture says, he that waited upon the Lord, anybody out there in that scripture, anybody knows that scripture can say it to me, he that waited upon the Lord shall do what?
Renew their strength. Renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That is one of my favorite scriptures.
There I am. And that's what God is saying. And I say, they say, well, you know, you got to be an old man. No. You got to mix up again. God let Moses live to be 80 years old before he got him busy. God brought Abraham out of these 80 years old. He lived to be 160, had four different wives. The multitude of nations. And I'm saying to those of us who are listening, I love you. Lord knows I love y'all. I love every one of you on the line tonight. But I know this time has come. We look around at what's happening. This morning, an earthquake in California, 4 megahertz. Earthquake in the United States of America. God is getting our attention. He's getting our attention. Why? Because he let it know. He said, I'm slowly pulling the curtain closed. Satan time has come. See, and the more we look at over there in Russia, look what the Russian has done. That's written in the Bible. Look what's going to happen in Israel. They're going to divide the two states. God said it won't happen. I said, Lord, on Obama, why do you want to say two states? God said no. That land belongs to him. And you read in Psalm 137, you're going to find it. You read in the Psalm 89, you're going to find it. That land belongs to God. Inheritance. And we read in Deuteronomy. I just know that I know. What I know. If I don't know it, teach me. Teach me if I don't know it. I'm a listener.
Yeah.
I'm a listener. And I'm a usurper. I try to get all I can. And I'm seeing because we're living in that time. And God has promised. What did this, he just quote that scripture. One thing I love about old Isaiah, I said, ho, he that thirsts that is coming to what? Drink of the water of freedom. No charge. You ain't got to buy. See, you get the Holy Ghost free. You ain't got to go stand in line. But once you go, what else? A meeting going on, God's going to do great and awesome things. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. See, and I've obeyed God. I promised God for 12 days of the day. I will spend no time, but that's what I've been doing. 12 days of the day, I've been quiet before God. And so tonight you see the fire, it's really me up. Because this coming Thursday, I have to blow the horn for God. This coming Thursday night in Houston, Texas, that's going to be a power-packed anointing what God has showed me. Everybody on the radio said fire.
Fire.
Say it again.
Fire.
Fire. Fire. And in the book of John, chapter 1, it says that in the one of the scriptures says these words. And they said, here comes John came baptizing with water. He said, but there's one who's coming after me. I'm not even worthy to untie his shoes. And he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. With the Holy Ghost and fire. That's so important. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, interchangeable, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, is interchangeable in the life we live in. And God would have us to know, because if we are who we say we are, and it's time for us to look at the blue moons. Do y'all know what the blue moons are, the red moons? Hello out there. I need some help, anybody?
No.
Hello?
I'm not sure if I know what that is.
Nobody know what a red moon is?
No.
Have we heard about the feast of God? When you see that red moon, it is trouble for Israel. It's always trouble. And I will say this to you. Go in the Bible and read it. There's so much to understand and live in these days we're now living in.
You mean a moon of blood?
Blood, that's what the Bible calls a blood moon. A blood moon. And it happens every so often in the life of... See, God has a promise to Israel. I don't care what nobody says. I'm a part of Israel. That blood moon is a sign that there was no trouble. And look what's going to happen in the month of April of this year. Look what's going to happen. We're going to have a red moon. You need to be, if you don't know somebody, get them praying. Because we don't know what's going to happen on this particular time. Because look over, hold up. Putin did, out of Russia, went over there and took up a place. But it's according to the word of God. And God shall hook the bear by his jaws and drag him down the Israel. What is God doing? Putin has already started trying to take over. So the word of God is relevant in today's life. Amen?
Amen.
More glory. Oh, I see I got my prayer warrior. Are you on the tele, on the radio? You got something to say, my beloved sister? Are you there? Probably she going to. But I say this to her. The time we have, beloved, is not our time. God has made it so possible for what we have and what God has given to us. God loves us so much. He gave his son. And his son is saying, Father, he said, hold on. He said, maybe that lady with a son has got an issue with her son. If she can just believe a little stronger, hold on, Father. See, the Father has the final word. They said to Jesus, they said, when you come, says, we want to know, says, who? And they asked Jesus a question. And Jesus said, nope. The power to give right there on my right, or sit on my left, is it's not me, it's the Father. Okay, well, I got that from you. But I will say this to you. God is able. God is able. He's able. And so many things that I'm seeing in my spirit, man. Now here, Tracy, God is blessing this woman beyond all expectation. Blessings are flowing all around her. Blessings are flowing around the lady with her son and the issue that she had. Blessings are flowing around the prophetess. Blessings are flowing around some people. See, but we have a lot of people who don't, they have religion. Religion.
Yes.
It's not that demon, legion. Give your thought about dissecting it, R-E, legion. You ever thought about it? Well, that's what happened. Some people don't want to be taught nothing because they say, I got what I got, I need what I got. Somebody want to have a prayer time. If I'm getting tough because I love you, pastor, need to wake up. The fivefold minister need to wake up because we are in charge of this earth. The angels can't do nothing until God answers because they are at our beckoning call. And when we say, angels, bring me my blessings, bring me my money, bring me my healing, bring it. God has a choice. Open up the gate and give it to him. Hallelujah. Amen.
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 I've seen it happen. Now, I walked with that old man. He was in 1984, and he said, look, he said, when you pray, you ain't got to go down there and get big in God. Just say, look, Father, this is my prayer. And pray, it says, look, you said the angel would bring it to me. Our angel's on assignment. Bring it to me. In Hebrews, it speaks of it. I said, oh, my Lord. That's why I say to people, I ought to read the book of Galatians. I ought to read the book of Hebrew. Amen.
Amen.
The book of Ephesians. Because if you find it, and all those that are mentioned in the New Testament are mentioned in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, it talks about those five churches. And God said, I know you. 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 Ain't no sense in love. Well, Lord, I'm guilty. That's what I have to say to you. I'm not going to spend much time. I want to give somebody else something to say. I will say this. Above all, I'm going to obey God during this revival. And God promised me if I will be obey him, God said he's going to do what he said he's going to do. What is God going to do? What he said he's going to do. What did he say? What he said he's going to do. What he said he's going to do. What he said he's going to do. God speaks his word. His word is like fire. Hallelujah. His words are like water. Hallelujah. His words are like gold. But when God speaks his word, hallelujah. Woo, Jesus, I love
you. Amen.
I love you.
Amen.
Amen. We got about 15 minutes. Anybody got else that they want to say? No, we got 24 minutes. Anybody else got anything else to say? Well, I'm going to end the prayer and I'm going to say, I love you, Father. It is in the name of Jesus Christ that we come tonight with thanksgiving of our hearts. for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us this night. Some have come with a multitude of issues, but we've all come with faith believing after hearing such a great teaching by Tracy. I want to thank her, Father, for the inducement of the spirit of teaching in her and the understanding in her. And, Father, we just come before you with thanksgiving and shout, Ada, 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 Ada. In the name of Jesus, we say we praise you, and we love you, and we adore you, and we magnify your
yes,
name.
Lord.
Father,
yes, Lord.
Somebody's walking and don't have the name of Yeshua on their heart. Somebody's not been told that they need salvation. Well, tonight, because traces of it, we come again along with them. We owe the name of Jesus to everybody who's not listening to the radio station on the line, but because we want to pray and believe all things are possible. God can do it. He has done it. And, Father, we just want to thank you tonight once again for the manifold of things that you've blessed us. How that you let us rise up early this morning, walk with a clear-cut mind to praise you, to love you, to adore you, to bow before you in the Spirit. Even when we attack and the enemy has tried, but we know by the blood of the Lord is, the enemy cannot attack. But most of all, Father, it's through Jesus' name that we say hallelujah. It's through Jesus' name that we praise you. It's through Jesus' name that we love you. It's what Jesus paid the ultimate price for us. And we love you for it because no God is like you. You're the only true God. And because of that, we say hallelujah. Now, Father, there are days before us that we know it not, but only you know it. But we ask you in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach that you would keep us and bless us and teach us, O God, to humble ourselves. Teach us, Father, the number of our days that you've given us. Hallelujah. Teach us, O God. Teach us, Father, to love our wives. Husbands love their wives, and wives love your husbands, that we might fulfill the royal scripture. Because in heaven you said, Father, through Jesus Christ, there is neither marriage nor marriage. We want to thank you for giving us the full insight of what you've done, Father. Teach us, Father, in these last days that we now live in, to honor thee. Old baby, even from the White House to the governor's office, to the mayor's office, to the councilman, to the outhouse, to the no house, we said we love you. And Father, this day in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, I want to say I love you with all that I have. I praise you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
I love you. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you until next time. Amen.
Till next time, brother. Amen. Till next time.
Amen.